It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Celebrate His greatness, His grace, and His presence. Appreciated the testimonies that the Greenlee family gave this morning. Write down where I'm going to speak this morning. Praise the Lord. Along with what Paul said, I heard a man say this week about the Bible. It says that the Bible is the mind of God in print. And that's the truth. And if you want to know what God's got in store, just read this. And God will interpret it for you too. Before I start, I'd like for us, Paul, to come up and play. And I'd like for us to sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. I don't know where it's at. It's in the songbook somewhere.
98.
Oh, 98. There you go. And I'd like for you to stand while we sing this song, please.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Praise the Lord. This morning I want to share with you about three people in the Bible that Jesus approached. And he approached all three of them and he made the statements and comments to them. And I don't want to spend much time on the people or necessarily his comments, but I want to put emphasis on the results of them meeting with Jesus on his grounds. And this message, I wanted to make it relative to us. About a year ago, I spoke and I mentioned out of the scriptures, and I felt the Holy Spirit urged me to say that, and you remember where Jesus said, I mean, the Bible says that he would do a new thing. Remember that? And he would make a new road, or make a road, okay? That's what I want to make relative to you. And your testimonies this morning is right where I wish to go. And I do want to make it clear. I want to emphasize on the results of what happened with our conversation that Jesus initiated and the fact what happened afterwards, okay? But first of all, I think the Lord would have me to share an experience that I've had this week. First of all, you all know that the fellowship helps support me financially and had started some months back. But what you don't know was I used to have a savings account. And when I couldn't work anymore, I worked up to about 75, 77 in air, making a little extra money. And when that dried up, where I couldn't do that, I had to do other things. An event happened and my savings account disappeared. And through the situations, and that was okay. And then all of a sudden, now I didn't say anything to anyone, and all of a sudden money started showing up at the first of the month from the fellowship. And I asked one of the elders, is this corporate? And they said, yes. And I said, how did you determine the amount? I wanted to know. And he said, the elders prayed. And that was the figure they came up with. Well, what was amazing, that was exactly the amount I needed to go along with every month of what I had. And it's been working out just fine. And I praise the Lord for that. What you didn't know was that it was the exact amount. And now the next thing, this week in the mail, I got an extra check beside what the fellowship gave me. Someone, I guess, wanted to help me out through the fellowship, and I got an extra check in the mail. And I was really rejoicing in that and real happy. And on Friday, I got to get in my truck, and I'm going into the bank and see whether I wanted to cash it or deposit it. Well, when I was going in town, I noticed the brake on my truck was getting soft. So I thought, this isn't good, So I got to the bank, and the time I got stopped, it was really getting soft. So I went in, and I decided I better cash the check. So I cashed this check, got in my truck, and went straight to a mechanic that I knew of. Well, had the money. Got my truck fixed, got my brakes fixed, and had enough money to buy my grandson lunch at McDonald's. And I went out and bought a new pair of pants for $12. So the Lord supplies. Amen. And I felt that I should share that. It don't matter whether your need is financial, physical. I don't care what it is. He will supply it. Morning by morning's new mercies we're going to see. Amen. And that's and I want you to remember that. And I felt it's not only the money, it's everything. God will supply our needs. Now, that's been going on for years. That's not a new event for me. That's been happening over and over and over. And I never asked, because you don't have to. He knows. And I might ask for the wrong amount anyhow. But nevertheless, God's faithfulness is true. Now these three people, I'm not going to read a lot of scripture to you. You know them. You know the stories well. As I said a while ago, these are people that Jesus specifically approached and started the conversation. The first one is the woman at the well. The second one is Thomas. And because of this meeting, poor old Thomas has been hung up with the title, Doubting Thomas. But wait to what we talk about what he said.
Amen.
That's more important about yes. that than the moments that he doubted. And the third one, of course, is the Apostle Paul. And Christ approached Paul on a road to Damascus. Thank you. Now, that's not the only time that Christ approached Paul. That was the first time. Now, I want to start with the woman at the well. We know about her background and all those nice things and the nice person that she was. But she had some religious background. She knew about the well. She knew who dug the well. And when Jesus started talking to her, she let him know that she had heard the Messiah was coming. And when he comes, these things will happen. So we know that. But the Bible says that Jesus said he must go through Samaria. It was a divine appointment, a divine date, and a divine time. That was the day, that was the hour that he was supposed to go. Okay? And he struck up the conversation. Now, her first comment, she called him, but you're a Jew. And that wasn't necessarily a friendly comment for her to say. First time in the Bible, he was only called Jew three times, and that was the first one. She called him a Jew. And it was because she was a Samaritan, and the Jewish and Samaritans didn't get along. So she saw him as a Jew who wanted a drink of water and had no way of getting the water. And that's how she saw him. And then he started this conversation. And Bombay, she said, wait a minute. Are you a prophet? See, her view is changing of Christ all here in maybe a couple hours this conversation went on. He stayed there for 2 days. But this conversation made, and finally she said, maybe you're a prophet. You've been telling us things. Are you a prophet? And he didn't answer that, but they kept on talking. And eventually, she knew him as their Savior. Amen. Now, that all happened within a couple of hours of time. But from being a slanderous Jew to maybe a prophet to now the Messiah. And she even said, when the Messiah is coming, she even said, our forefathers, Jacob, dug this well. Like she was claiming rights to the well. I got a right to be here. I have an inheritance in this well. So, and then what did she do? You know the story better than I do, most of you. She went home, and the whole town showed up to see this Jesus that she started talking about. Now then, here's the relativeness of this message. That revelation of Christ to that woman allowed her to make a way for that whole town to come out and follow and see Christ. And they even said, you know, we believed in you because of what the woman said, but now then we believe in you because we have seen you ourselves. Now, Paul, I've been thinking about this pathway, the road, the gut, and I've been thinking about you folks all week. And you, last year you started that, and I didn't realize till recently that you're building a road here. And when I realized that, I thought, praise God, because I knew that I was under the anointing to say that he's going to do a new thing and that he's going to build roads. And I hadn't seen them. And then all of a sudden it dawned on me, here's a road. And those people that last year accepted Christ, that was because, and here you are, you're doing it again. Okay? That's important. And I'm going to come back to that probably. Now then, the second encounter was Thomas. Now Thomas had met with some of the apostles, all of them, and they were in a room, and he had let them know. They said, listen, Thomas, we have seen Christ, and he is risen. And they were all excited telling Thomas about Christ. And Thomas's remark is this, I'm not going to believe it till I see his scarred hands and see the gash in his side. That's what Thomas has come. And for that, he's still entitled Doubting Thomas. And then all of a sudden, and then a few days later, they're meeting again, and in comes Jesus. And he goes right to Thomas. And he said to Thomas, Thomas, stop your unbelieving and start believing. Look at my hands and put your hand in my side. And Thomas, we have no record that he did it. But here's his comment. My God and my Lord. Now then, Thomas has been with him for 3 years. Thomas was there when Peter said, Thou art the Christ. And that had to be said. But I got to say this. Thomas put this just a little further when he said, My Lord and my God. He added to what he said. He had seen Christ raise the dead. He had seen blind people made to see. He had seen crippled people walk and run and jump and praise the Lord. And yet, he still had to have another revelation of Christ. And when he saw that, his proclamation was, My Lord and my God. He had never made that statement before. And according to what I understand, that is one of the highest things of his deity. When Peter said, Thou art the Christ, that meant you are the anointed one. But now he's saying, You are my God and my Lord. And he was looking into the deity of God. What a remark. What a tremendous statement. Only can be said by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you know what? Now, it's not in the Bible, but tradition and history tells us, you know what Thomas did? He did evangelistic and missionary work in what we call India today. Changed his life. He made his Lord and his God the Lord and God of many people. Amen. He became a missionary. Changed his life. He's built roadways for people to come to Christ. And that was his, several times he'd been with the Lord. But what I want to point out is, we're blessed in this fellowship. And we meet with the Lord. I've never been here that the Lord isn't present. And sometimes it's higher fever than others. Or it is to me, maybe I'm more in tune some days than I am others. But I'm telling you what, if you didn't sense him today, come up, we'll pray for you because you're dead. There's such a beautiful prayer. And when Paul opened up, that was tremendous this morning. But anyhow, Thomas had several appointments with Christ, and Christ initiated. Now, Paul. On the road to
Damascus.
I keep wanting to say Damascus. That's me. Run two words together. Paul, and all of a sudden a bright light shined. And here comes this word. Paul, why are you prosecuting me? Even Christ himself initiated the conversation. And here's Paul's answer. Is that you, Lord? All of a sudden, here's a man he was out to destroy. And now all of a sudden he's saying, is that you, Lord? Paul knew it was the Lord. He just wanted to make sure it was the Lord. And we know the story. And later on, he gets baptized. He gets prayed over. He gets filled with the Holy Spirit. But that's not his last encounter with the Lord, is it? We find out that sometime in his life, maybe almost 3 years, according to Paul's writings, he spent somewhere in some desert somewhere being taught by the Lord. Now that first encounter was tremendous, but it wasn't the end. And being taught by Christ himself, now that's leaving interpretation of the word to the Lord. Amen. But then we also learn that Paul one time was called up into the third heaven. That was another tremendous encounter. And we think, we don't, he said words that he's not even lawful for him to utter. But some of them was, he has chosen us in Christ Jesus before the foundations of the Lord. So you can only gain that from being in the presence of the Holy One, the Creator of all things. So Paul's revelations each time grew. And I don't have to tell you about the roads that Paul built. You know about them. All over the known world at that time almost. Paul initiated. He built, he established fellowships. He established home meetings and so forth. Paul built pathways that people might find Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now then, back to us. I've been thinking much about Paul and his family, and I appreciate your boys' testimonies this morning. Man, that was, I mean, it excites me when anybody gives a testimony, but when a young person, it just causes my spirit to leap within me. And I appreciate that, and I appreciate what your family's doing. And that's made me, now that I'm not saying you should do what I'm saying, I'm going to ask you to pray about what I'm going to say. I might be wrong here. But it seems like I see an example being laid down. And now besides Paul and this, I know of some other people that went to different fellowships and they've become just amazed, dissatisfied. And they have started meeting themselves on a Sunday morning because they feel they should meet on the Lord's Day. And they're opening the Word of God, and they're praying, and they're praying for a lot of things. And one of them hinted to me, did they think they're doing right? And I said, did you pray about this? Did you shake the Holy Spirit? That's what we think. I said, then don't ask me. Don't ask me. If the Holy Spirit led you, you do that. Another road, a new way. I think that God is showing. Now, here's what I'm going to suggest. I've thought about all of you people all this in the last 3 or 4 weeks. And I thought about where you lived. And did I tell you I can't see your house on the road anymore? Your trees have grown up. I can't even see your house anymore. And I thought about your house. And I thought about your house. And Mike's house. A lot of your houses. And here's what I'm going to suggest. You pray about it. Don't do it. Just pray about it. That's all. Don't take action. I thought about Jay and Hope. Not the house they used to live in, but the house they live in now. Here's what I want you to pray about, West Falls. They're already using their house. I want you to pray about, do something familiar, similar to what Paul's doing. I would invite you, and I've thought about the Carol and her husband. I would invite you to pray about going down around your neighborhood, and especially if you've got a neighbor that's unchurched, and knock on their door and say, listen, I'm thinking about having a Bible study prayer meeting / prayer meeting in my home. Would you like to come? Don't try to make Bible scholars out of them. Just pick out the, if they come, they will. If you invite them, they'll come. Just pick out the scriptures that point to Christ. Don't try to even get them to quote scriptures necessarily. Just point out scriptures that point to Christ. And you know, just about every scripture in the Bible points to Christ, didn't it? So you're on safe ground. But just point, like, you know, very few unchurched people have never heard about the Trinity, and I think they should be. Start right in John, and there you got it. But anyhow, invite them over. I'll let that one slide at another event that has happened. Invite them, see, we are to be the roads that people can come to Christ. Our lives. Our very being, our very persons should be the image that people can follow and find Christ. And unless we open ourselves up to them and make them known, like Paul's doing in his neighborhood, make people know. But not only that we're there, but we're there for them. That God didn't move us in that neighborhood just because it's a nice neighborhood. God moved us in that neighborhood that we might be Christian neighbors to that area. Amen. Now, will you pray about that? Pray about that. Don't invite other people from the fellowship. We're okay. Invite people. If you got any that don't attend church at all, they're the very ones you ought to start with. And they're out there. They're there. And if you're looking for a clue, just walk around your street or ride around your town. And if you see pumpkins and scarecrows and all that in the yard, that's a good door to knock on right there. That's a sign that they need some kind of other image around their house, okay? So praise the Lord. Now that's what I wanted to share with you. That's what I had on my heart to share with you this morning. And I want you to pray about it. Now, I don't want you to do it. I just want you to pray about it. Now that I'm going to ask for commitment. How many of you will pray about what I just said? Raise your hand. Oh, good. Good. Hey. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for the living word. I thank you that you have, by the power of the Holy Spirit, moved upon men to write this sacred word. And that, Father, we have the glorious honor of being able to hold it in our hands, commit it to our hearts. And as I said before, it's the only thing I can carry around on earth that I'll take with me in heaven. Now, Father, we thank you for your word. And, Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that helps us understand and be able to live the word. Not just speak it, but live it. And, Father, we pray for this simple little message this morning. That, Father, we become the road that people might find Christ. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord, I'm done.